I invite you to turn to two passages in the Word of God today, Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and the Gospel by John chapter 5. We want to read Ecclesiastes 9, and it is this verse that we want to dwell upon this morning. And it's the fourth verse, and we're only going to deal with a part of the verse, the last part of it. You'll notice it says, "For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion." Now we want to deal with this expression, "a living dog is better than a dead lion." And we're dealing with it from the area of life. Life being so important. For you'll notice the context is life. Now turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 37. John 5, verse 37, the Lord Jesus is the speaker, and he says, "And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape, and ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come unto me, that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, for I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only?" Now may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Our Father, as we open thy precious word, we ask you now that you would speak to our hearts. Give us something from yourself. May we grasp that word which brings life and light and immortality. Be pleased to minister to us, and may the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. For Jesus' sake, amen. Solomon, in the book of Ecclesiastes, sees life as it is lived under the sun. He views physical life on the earth, and he uses that expression time and again in the book of Ecclesiastes, "vanity of vanities, all is vanity." And Solomon also, in the book of Ecclesiastes, not only speaks of the emptiness of life, but he gives us a lot of contrasts of things that are better than other things. In chapter 7, verse 8, he says, "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof." Then in chapter 7 also he said, "It is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting." In other words, he's saying you can learn a lot more at a funeral than you can at a wedding. That's basically what he's saying in the text. Now, in our text that we're looking at this morning, he says, "A living dog is better than a dead lion." If you wonder why I'm grinning, I can't help it. I said something about a dog one time in a message, and my a friend of mine said to me, his name is Lacey, he said, "You gave us another dog sermon today." Well, here we go for another one. "A living dog is better than a dead lion." I have to be careful that I don't use my favorite statement about Humpty Dumpty this morning. But anyway, get the text. A living dog is better than a dead lion. Life in its humblest form is better than death. It is better to be least in the kingdom of heaven and than to be the greatest outside of it. The lowest degree of grace is far superior, beloved, to the noblest development of unregenerate nature. The lion is seen as the king. The dog in Scripture is seen as an ugly animal. The Bible says we honor dogs. But a living dog is better than a dead lion. And therefore we can say that the lowest degree of grace is far superior to the noblest development of unregenerate nature, where the Holy Spirit of God implants divine life in the soul. There is a precious deposit, friends, that all the refinements of education can never equal. The thief on the cross excels Caesar on the throne. Lazarus among the dogs is better than Cicero among the senators. A living dog is better than a dead lion. The most uneducated Christian is far superior to Plato, Aristotle, and Socrates. Life is the badge of nobility. And in the realm of spiritual things, men without it are only coarser or finer specimens of the same lifeless material needing to be quickened, for they are dead in trespasses and in sins. A living dog keeps far better watch than a dead lion. Therefore, the poorest spiritual teacher is infinitely to be preferred to the exquisite orator who has no wisdom but words and no energy other than sound. A living dog is better than a dead lion. And beloved, since life is so precious, what we've read in context from John 5 and verse 30, it stands in tremendous contrast, for it says, "Ye will not come unto me that you might have life." And if life is so important, and life is only to be had in Christ, and men refuse to come to Christ that they might have it, they're like a dead lion before God, and a living dog is better than a dead lion. You see, the Word of God teaches a number of things. Number one, men by nature are dead. No being needs to go after life if they already have it. And when our Lord said, "You will not come unto me that you might have life," He was telling men that they're dead, that they don't have it. And there's no need coming to Christ if you already have it. And this is where the doctrine of grace shines in all its glory. And whether you delight in the doctrine of grace or whether you hate the doctrine of grace, it doesn't matter for this reason. If you hate the doctrine of grace, you do not understand life. There is no need coming to Christ for life if you already have it. But the Word of God declares you don't have it. And that's why you need to come. Men need life more than anything that they have in themselves. All men are dead to God unless they have been quickened by the Holy Spirit to a living hope through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. By nature, all men are dead in three ways. And we want to get this morning. Number one, they are legally dead. Legally dead. God said to Adam in the garden, "The day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And Adam died legally. And death was legally recorded against Adam. To those who know not the Lord, you are physically alive, but you are legally dead. And today, you have gotten a reprieve. God has not executed the sentence of death which is against you. But if there, and if he executes the sentence of death which has been passed upon you, for the scripture declares in Romans 5 and verse 12, for as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and therefore death has passed upon every man, in that all have sinned, man is legally dead before God. And you have a reprieve this morning if you're here without Christ, and you are still dead in trespasses and sins. You are physically alive, but you are legally dead because a sentence of death has been passed upon you. Now, you may shout loudly of your deeds. You may shout loudly of your good works, but it doesn't make any difference before God. How foolish a man to live in a world alive with the merriment that this world offers with a sentence of death recorded against him. The man who has been sentenced to death and he's on death row in one of our prisons, he is without any legal rights. He is no longer considered a citizen of this country. He cannot vote. He cannot do anything else. All he does is exist on death row. And this is humanity, friends, apart from God. This is humanity apart from Jesus Christ. They're on death row because legally God has passed the sentence of death upon them. And my friend, if you're here without Christ, that's you. That's you. You're legally dead. But more than that, by nature, you were spiritually dead. Not only legally dead, but spiritually dead. Spiritually dead, yes. The sentence has not only been passed in the book that makes you legally dead, but it has passed upon the heart. And you are spiritually dead toward God. And the sentence has entered into your very conscience and into your imagination and everywhere else. There's a young man speaking in Burlington this morning. He stayed in my home last night. I met him a few years ago, right after he got saved. He had been in Uncle Sam's army and he was on the drug scene. He was in prison in Japan. And in jail in Japan, it was there that God met him through two inmates who were saved. And if he were to, he's going to give his testimony tonight. And I tell you, friends, when he told me the way in which he got into drugs, when he was in junior high school, in grade school, and he told me a story, and he pulled out a paper called The Hound of Heaven. He said, the Hound of Heaven just kept on my tracks, no matter where I was. He said, I'd cry out at night, Lord, leave me alone. But he said, God never stopped until he brought me to spiritual life in Christ Jesus. And my dear friend, I'm not going to stop preaching the gospel. Because if you're here this morning and you're dead in trespasses and sins, the hound of heaven is after you to bring you to life in Christ. And he can track you down and he can regenerate you by divine grace. You see, the memory that God has given us has been tainted. The whole of us. You see, the very things that we want to remember, spiritual things, important things we forget, the things that I'd like to forget, I remember. I'm spiritually dead apart from Jesus Christ. And as far as man is concerned, he is dead in trespasses and in sins. That's what the Word of God says in Ephesians chapter 2. But that leads us to a third problem. Not only legal death, the sentence has been passed. Not only spiritual death, If I'm apart from Jesus Christ this morning, I'm spiritually dead. I do not have the life of God in me. As our Lord told the people in John chapter 5, you have not the life of God in you. But the Word of God speaks of eternal death. Eternal death. What is eternal death? Eternal death is the execution of the sentence of legal death and spiritual death. And that day when the sentence is executed, you read about it in the 20th chapter of the book of the Revelation. Let's turn and read it, shall we? Let us turn and read a few verses. It's the third last chapter of the book of the Revelation, and it's almost the end of that very chapter. Revelation chapter 20. And we're going to begin reading at verse 11. And I want you to notice what it says. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Here we have the execution of the sentence. This is a consummation of spiritual death. Now, friends, if legal death is dreadful, it is because of that which follows it, the consequences of it. And if spiritual death is dreadful, it is because of that which follows it. And what follows spiritual death is eternal death. And we read about it here in the passage, in the judgment. The souls of men come before their Maker. The books are opened. The book of life is opened. And they're judged over the according to the things that are written in the books. And the sentence is uttered by the judge of all the earth, the one inescapable person in the universe, depart from me. Today our Lord's message is not depart, it's come. Come! In that day it will be depart from me, ye accursed, into everlasting darkness, into everlasting hell, with the devil and his angels. It's going to be a terrible time. The flames of a lost eternity await. But our text says a living dog is better than a dead lion. And while we're all conscious of death, and we need life, I can tell you this morning, there is life in Jesus Christ. For he said to the people of his day, ye will not come unto me that you might have life. But all who do come find life in him. May I say this very quickly? Life for the sinner is not to be found in God the Father. Oh no. Even though God the Father loves, and even though God the Father gave our Lord Jesus, as we read in John 3:16, God has decreed that life is found in Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus said in John 14:6, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So life is not found in God the Father. Furthermore, life is not found in the Holy Spirit, even though the Holy Spirit is the one who regenerates men to life. Oh no. God has decreed that this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. The first thing that God taught the children of Israel when he was going to bring them out of Egypt. He instituted the Passover. He brought them to see the slain lamb and the value of the blood. And the thing that God brings us to, that we might have life, he brings us to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, of which the Passover speaks. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. He brings us to the blood of sprinkling, whereby we know that life is in him. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. It is that person and work of our blessed Lord that saves us. Now, beloved, just as spiritual death, there is legal death, spiritual death, and eternal death. I want to tell you this morning that there is legal life in Jesus Christ. We call it justification. That's what it's called in the great epistle to the Romans and in the epistle to the Galatians. It is called justification. To be justified by God, that word justify is a legal term. It is a legal term that declares to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Though we're under condemnation, beloved, because of Adam's sin, we are declared righteous by the God of heaven when we believe in Jesus Christ. And God challenges all intelligences in the universe in Romans 8, and he says, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies. Oh, what a blessed position to be in. It is God who justifies. And we are justified by faith. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And for the justified person, there is no condemnation. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. You know what word I like out of Romans 8, 1? It's that word now. There is therefore now, right now, no condemnation. And I can sing with Wesley, no condemnation now I dread. Jesus, my all in thee I find, alive in him my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. That's my position in Christ. There's legal life, beloved, in Christ. But more than that, there's spiritual life in Christ. How do I know? You see, the sinner is spiritually dead, as we have noticed, but there's spiritual life for him, because in conversion, the Spirit of God regenerates and brings life out of death, and he imparts spiritual life to the believing sinner. So just as legal death, there is legal life, we call it justification. Just as there is spiritual death, there is spiritual life, and we call it regeneration. And just as there is eternal death, there is eternal life, and we call it assurance, salvation. Our Lord said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. Eternal life. Now, if eternal death is terrible, and it is, and you have no idea what it's like, and neither do I, but I take God at his word in this. Our Lord Jesus spoke more of hell than anyone else. And it is he who said, it is a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Now, if eternal death is terrible, eternal life is blessed indeed. For the Lord Jesus said, where I am, there my people also shall be. And in John chapter 17, our Lord Jesus gave us his will. He said, Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, for thou hast loved me from the foundation of the world. Oh, if I lost my life in Adam, and I did, I've gained it in Christ. For that day when I came to know him as personal Lord and Savior, I became a possessor of a life that I can never lose, for it is a life that is linked to the eternal person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, a living dog is better than a dead lion. But you see, there's a third thing we want to notice this morning, and that is this. Eternal life is given to all who come for it. There isn't a person who's ever come for eternal life that has been turned away. Never. And it doesn't matter whether it's legal life, spiritual life, eternal life. They're never turned away. Hebrews 7:25 says, he ever liveth, for he is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. The last verse of John 6, verse 37, the last half of the verse says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Everyone that ever came finds the door of mercy open. It is open, but we also find something else. Not only is the door of mercy open, but the door of the heart is open too. Because our Lord says, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And all who come find the mercy of God available to them. You see, beloved, my gospel is as wide as anybody can ever preach it. No one can ever come and be turned away. I preach the gospel of God's grace, and it rests, beloved, on a solid foundation. You see, no one can come except the Father who sent draws him. And when the hound of heaven gets on your track to bring you to an end of yourself, that you realize your awful depravity and spiritual death apart from Jesus Christ, the heart is drawn by God the Father to the person of his Son. And we find the door of mercy open, and we find the door of the heart is open too. Now there's life, beloved, for everyone that comes. But you see, that presents the problem. Our Lord said in John 5, verse 40, ye will not come unto me that you might have life. Isn't it a terrible thing to realize? The lion is the king of the forest. And you may be sitting as a king in your own little kingdom, ruling. And God says, you're a dead lion. A living dog is better than you are. Our Lord said, you will not come unto me that you might have life. And this is illustrated so well at two places in the gospel. In the 14th chapter of Luke, our Lord speaks of the man who made a great supper. And he invited his friends to come. Great supper. The one began to make excuses. The scripture says, they all began with one consent to make excuses. And that's the condition of all men. All men are not whosoever wills. All men by nature are whosoever will not. They will not come unto me. They all with one consent began to make excuses. And our Lord said to the servant, and the servant in that passage is none other than the Holy Spirit. He said to the servant, go into the highways and into the hedges and compel them to come in. And the Spirit of God says, it is done. And our Lord said, those men shall not partake of my supper who were invited. You will not come unto me that you might have life. Oh, what a condition of the heart. Do you get a picture of what it's like to be dead in trespasses and in sins? How terrible. You will not come. Oh, a living dog is better than a dead lion. Man prefers his death to life in Jesus Christ. So perverted is the nature of fallen man. But there's a second story. It's in Matthew 21. Our Lord speaks of the husbandman who planted a vineyard and he let it, or the farmer who planted a vineyard and he let it out to husbandmen. And he looked for fruit, and he sent servant after servant. They beat one, they stoned another. At last he said, I will send my son. They will reverence my son. And when our Lord Jesus came, he came in all the fullness and blessing of the Father. Every miracle that he performed was a miracle of blessing. He never added one ill to any man. He blessed, but he never cursed. And what did man cry out? We will not have this man to reign over us. Away with him. Crucify him. God said they will reverence my son. But the wicked heart of man is in such terrible and debased condition, depraved to the uttermost. And we know what the result was. Exactly what our Lord said, you will not come unto me that you might have life. Now those of us who have been saved by divine grace, those of us who have life in Christ, we often confess when we sing, grace taught my soul to pray and made mine eyes o'erflow. 'Tis grace has kept me to this day and will not let me go. Only divine grace, beloved, and nothing else. Well, I'd like to say three things quickly in closing. Number one, a living dog is better than a dead lion. Are you alive or dead? Do you have the life of God or don't you? If you don't, you really need it. For life is precious. Do you have that legal life that's in Christ Jesus that is called justification, which issues in peace with God? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Second, do you have that spiritual life that's in Christ Jesus, which is issues in regeneration? You've been regenerated to life in Christ, and it issues in a holy walk. Your walk is different now. As Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and he says, I beseech you, therefore, that ye walk worthy of the Lord, of the vocation wherewith you are called. Regeneration issues in a holy walk. One more thing. Do you have that eternal life? That eternal life from Christ that declares unto you, you shall never perish. Do you have it? A living dog is better than a dead lion. Where do you stand? Are you a dead lion? Ruling. Oh, I'm boss. I'm boss. Look at what I do. God isn't impressed. He isn't impressed. A living dog is better than a dead lion. Well, my friend, there's only one place you can have life. It's in Christ. And all who come receive it. And if the hand of heaven is on your track, why not turn and say, Lord, you have mercy on my soul when I had none on it myself. I'm lost. And I just submit. I turn to you today. Let's sing together. Hymn number 235. We'll sing the last two stanzas of this hymn. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. But that fourth stanza says, in the middle of the stanza, whom have I on earth beside thee? Who in heaven but thee? Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. And if God has saved others and given them life, he'll give it to you if you come. And we invite you to come. Trust him today. And if you trust him this morning, let us know about it, will you? Don't keep it to yourself. Let's stand together and sing as Brother Bobby leads us.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Thou the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me, whom have I on earth beside thee? Whom in heaven but
Christ, we thank you that you respond to all who in faith cry out from the depths of soul, Lord, don't pass me by. I need life. I want that life. I'd rather be a living dog than a dead lion. Hear us in this hour, and now dismiss us with your blessing. Upon thine own that have truly believed in thee, may thy grace, thy mercy, and thy peace abide. May they leave with a new sense of that abundant life that is ours in Christ Jesus. But upon any who are not yet saved, accompany them with divine restlessness. O thou hound of heaven, pursue them. Bring them to an end of themselves